selling music to. Let's get into it, man.
Yeah, we are back.
Pure DSGB fashion. We are the Wash Guys.
Yeah, we are the Wash Guys. Wash never washed up. I am Draft.
I am Sean Picard. We ain't got to get right into it. We let this ride out for a little bit. Let him sit on it.
Hell yeah. This is episode 98, by the way.
You
know what I'm saying? Get some tunes to help you get through whatever you're getting through.
The last Freak Nick year.
Yeah.
A lot of memories in 98, man.
Shout out T-Rock, wherever you at. Real Atlanta legend.
I want to say T-Rock is Kingpin Skinny Pimp. Got credits on Beyonce album. I gotta look it up. Either way, man. Yeah, they got credits on the most recent album too.
That's crazy. I guess some 3-6 sample.
Yeah, 3-6 sample. It was they've been digging deep, man. They've been trying to do a lot of niche hip hop effects. So that way, I think a lot of people tap into what they've been doing. I think that's part of the reason why. Police were in her feelings. She felt like they was using her in order to tap into a market that she had already carved out. I mean, in order to carve out a market and keep it, you gotta keep making music.
Sir,
it's a discussion we had. But yeah, Wash Guys, Wash Never Washed Up. As he said, he is Draft. As I said, I am Sean Luke Picard, episode 98. We are back again, man. Shout out to all of you riding with us. Been a wild week, man.
Yeah, man. It's been one of those weeks, man. Feels good to be back, though. I haven't said that in a week.
Lots been going on in the city. Lots been going on in lives. Hopefully, y'all have been able to wrangle all your problems and particular circumstances in as much as possible, man. But if not, man, we here with you. We understand this misery. There's company in this misery, man. Or like,
I'm not your company, so yeah. don't even reach out to me.
Somewhere, like hopefully.
Yeah.
Tell me I hope about you got your therapy.
Problems, nigga. Yeah. I don't want to hear them shits, man.
That therapist who recently got fired for talking all that shit about black men. Find her. She need a job.
Oh yeah. Well, I guess we'll probably talk about that at some point. But man. We're back. I guess we could. You want to get into your week? I can get in mine. My week was cool.
Go first, man.
My week was cool. A lot of shit happened this week. Not a lot of shit I care to speak of on, but
go on.
Yeah, man. My week was funny, man. I'm not gonna say it, but I had a weird ass week, man. People are fucking weird, man. I can't really go into details on while I'm saying that, but maybe in time, details will be revealed. But people are fucking weird, man, and they never cease to amaze me, like how far people will go to get what they want. But other than that, I'm sure that was like very clear for everybody. Like, oh yeah, I know exactly what he's talking about. But other than that, yeah, man.
Slow it down. I just dissed you.
Yeah.
Put it in subtitles. Some other rap battle rap ad lib.
Yeah.
Explains how he feels.
But I left my job this week, so about to start this other job. So every time I say that, people are like. But I'm like, relax. Yeah. That thing happens. But like, nah, I'm cooling, bro. Start on Monday. Wherever y'all hear this, I'll be probably closer to that point. So, round of applause for me.
Congratulations in advance, man.
Yeah. So, man. This really leads into my wash moment. So, I'm going to go ahead and just throw it out there now. Mm-hmm. Even though it's out of turn. But, man. Motherfuckers should really try to have me digging through the garbage. I was just like, yo, this is it. I'm not digging through no garbage, bro. like, shout out to all my waste management people and everybody that, does that type of field. My dad worked water and sewer for 20 years, so I'm not downgrading that field. But it's certain shit I'm going to do for certain amounts of money. And when the money and the tasks don't match up, bro, I got to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, that's a big deal breaker. Yeah. When I look at the job requirements and the equity I get as far as pay, Draw that line in the sand, baby.
It's like motherfucking monkeypox out this bitch, man. What the fuck I look like? Digging cleaning up trash. Garbage and shit. Yeah, cleaning up out the homeless niggas and shit, man. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, I was just really trying to do this shit for a month, but y'all niggas is goddamn pushing the envelope, nigga. So, yeah, man. I had to be the postman.
How was that washed? Like, how do you feel like that?
Because I just realized that I was like, I'm the elder statesman at a job. And I'm like, oh yeah, I ain't putting up with this shit. Y'all niggas, I'm looking at the niggas at the job like, yo, oh, y'all niggas, you gonna do this?
Man, get back without giving too much background. When you told me about it, like, I was just like, man, why didn't you tell somebody else to do that shit? Like, and how come nobody told anybody else before they came and told you?
Yeah, I was just like, yo, the fact that you would address that to me. Because
I'm sure it had to be three other people looking at you like, damn, nigga, you gonna do that shit? Yeah. And that's what made you sit there and be like, nah, bro, I got a William Wallace this, nigga.
It wasn't nobody else in the room when old girl asked me, but I was just like, no. She's like, oh, you're not doing it. I'm like, no, motherfucker, I'm not doing this shit, nigga. She's like, well. Yeah, yeah.
It's the same you can leave chick?
Nah, what's crazy is a different chick.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I had that effect on women. Shout out to my ladies. I wish I had my Hey Ladies drop. I'm gonna have to get that back. But
note for further reference.
Yeah, man. But yeah, man. Being the elder statesman at a place is just awful. It's like, yeah, there's just certain shit I'm not gonna do, bro. Yeah. And like, you know, I know that comes from me being at work for so long. Like, I've been working since I was like 15, so like I got a good 15 years, close to 20 years of just work. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's just like, yeah, I know where my sweet spot is and shit. But yeah, man. Other than that, week was fine, man. So I just been cooling, kicking back, trying to ante up for this my actual job that I've been waiting on for months. So yeah. Yeah, that's
shout
all I got.
Shout out to you and your week, man.
Yeah.
Fuck that job.
Yeah, fuck that.
My week was cool. I've been busy. I ain't really had much of a social life outside of like my work, because I've been trying to pull as much overtime as I can, which is, it's cool, man. It keep me out of trouble. I did step out. I had a little interview for a night job, like a bar. And while I was there, I kind of kicked it with, you know, some of my people who I've been kicking the whip for the past few weeks. Shout out Keem and Mac. I guess this is part of my wash moment, man. I realized, I don't know if we fuck it, it's out there now.
You jumped the shark.
Yeah, all right, I did.
I jumped it first, but yeah. Go ahead.
But I had a homeboy that I've known for years, and it was funny because I'm introducing him to, you know, other people I know from different aspects of life. And I realized, like, nigga, I'm the only nigga without a nickname. Like, I'm still just walking around here going by Sean. Like, other niggas got whole aliases and nicknames and
Sean,
shit like
Sean's
that.
A nickname, though.
What?
It's one of those.
Talk about. We're not going to do this on the pod. Don't disrespect me, man. Sean
it's just
no
one of those names. It's like, it's already a nickname. Like, you don't nickname Sean. It's just like, why would you do that?
No, you don't nick Sean, but it's not a nickname. Like,
well, I mean, it is.
It's not a nickname.
It is.
It's not a nickname.
It's like a playful name. It's like, it's not a real name. You know what I mean? It's like Michael.
Yo, I'll
like,
slap it's not a real shit name. Out of you.
It's okay, niggas don't be having real names, bro.
Nah, it wasn't always like that, bro. Sean wasn't always like that. It was every once in a while that you'd run into a nigga and he'd be named Sean. There's usually only like one at a job. Because
the name isn't even Sean. It's like Sean DeLeon some shit. Like
it's not.
It comes from France. Like it's something longer than Sean. Like
no,
it didn't
it's not,
start as
it's
Sean.
Not. Sean is short for John. If you want me to get into the etymology of my name, we can, bro. Because I've done it with 5%ers and real black Israelites. We've broken this shit down.
That's your problem. Yeah. Give me that fake ass coon knowledge, nigga.
I'm named after John the Baptist, you bitch. I was like, man, I'm the only nigga in my crew that ain't got no nickname. Like, I can't walk around with no alias. Like, but I think that's part of just being washed. Like I came from an era, at least in my generation, from my elder statesmen. Like that demographic, like it was like, yeah, nah, we ain't got no nickname. You call me by my name. This my name. Real name, no gimmicks.
Oh. Man, I had like so many nicknames over my lifetime. It's just like, I can't even count them and shit. I've been so many different Slims and Skinnies and all that type of shit.
I don't know. Are we talking like women, or are we just talking like niggas?
Like neighborhood names.
I mean, neighborhood names. Yeah, like okay. Neighborhood. I ain't never had no neighborhood name.
Like a school name.
I had one neighborhood name when I first moved in the neighborhood that I grew up in. Like
I had a Smiley once. This bitch used to call me Smiley. I hated that. I never smiled again. Yeah. If anybody ever sees me, you wonder why I never smile.
Blame her. She ruined it.
Yeah.
But it was this dude in the neighborhood that was that they used to call Cake. Cause he was chubby and he came to the bus stop with cake one time, so they just named him after what he ate.
Oh yeah, we had a cupcake in my neighborhood.
That's crazy.
She was a big bitch. Shout out to her.
But the first day of school when I moved into this neighborhood, I walked to the bus stop with him. And I was like, "Damn, Cake, you got a friend, and he fat too. We gonna call this nigga Donut." So I wasn't fucking with it, but at the time, like, these niggas was like upperclassmen, so I couldn't really do shit about it. I seen this nigga one time, like, at a Sweet Auburn Fest. And I was with my homeboy, and he ran in. He was with his homeboys, and they knew each other. And this nigga turned around. I was like, "Oh shit, Donut." I was like, "Nigga, I'll beat the shit out of you, nigga. That's not my fucking name." It made shit awkward for everybody. Now we just standing there.
So he thought you were Donut.
Nah, he knew who I was. He was just trying to sun me in front of his friends. And I was just like, "Man, I'll smack the shit out of you, nigga." it's not that type of time no more.
Yeah, it can never be that time.
Yeah, it'll never be that time. We out of school now, nigga. Niggas will get shot, right? Yeah. We'll ruin the party for everybody. My old boy pulled me aside. After, was like, "Yo, what happened?" I was like, "Bro, I had to explain the whole story." And he was just, in his mind, he was like, "I kind of get it." But at the moment, he was like, "Nigga, that's it? Why you react like that?" And I was just like, "Man, I don't know." I snapped. I hadn't seen the nigga since. But yeah, man, that being said, I don't have no nickname, so that made me feel kind of washed.
Shout out to draft. My washed moment
is probably more demographic. More geared towards the fact that I'm having a conversation with one of my coworkers during the many hours I was working overtime about hip hop, because he was playing music and rapping songs and I was just unfamiliar. And because I'm trying to, I guess, call myself trying to relate this to my coworkers, I'm like, "Yo, what you listen to, bro?" Like, as far as rap is concerned, I've been having hip hop conversations with anybody black. And
in my head, it's fucking OPP for some reason. Like some old nigga rapping OPP.
No. It wasn't an old nigga. It was a young nigga.
Oh, all right.
But he was telling me he was listening to Loot at the time from Dreamville. I was like, "Oh, okay." So I was like, "Yo," immediately I just start formulating all these ideas about who he listens to in his head, and I'm just like, "Man, like, I couldn't even tell you what I'm listening to as far as rap is concerned, just because it's probably the same shit." But I mean, I'm telling him the actual tracks that are in my phone right now, that like the West Side Guns, the Mog Homies, the Vince Staples, like, this is what I'm listening to currently. Maybe some Kendrick Lamar mixed in, and he's like, "Oh yeah, man, like I was like, "Yo, based on the fact that you listen to Dreamville, like, you listen to Loot, I'm assuming you're a Dreamville fan." He's like, "Oh yeah, J. Cole, like, Kendrick Lamar's, of course, but I like to listen to stuff that's not mainstream." And I was like, "Yo, that's what they all say, bro. If they listen to Dreamville or to anybody from that demographic, they say it's not mainstream. When in actuality, like, you're more mainstream than not, in my opinion. Like, I definitely think that there are deeper cuts as far as hip-hop is concerned if you're talking about underground rap. But I respect it." And then we got to a point where he was just like, "Yeah, man,
that's
tricky. I remember when Logic came out, I was really into him." And I was like, "Yeah, we're not going to talk about music no more. We're not going to have this conversation anymore." He was like, "Why?" I was like, "Man, Logic is one of those people that I won't listen to just based off of the feel that I get from listening to his music. Like, I'm not going to listen to it. I don't care how good he raps. I don't care who he got a song with. If I look at the title and it say Black Spider-Man, and it gives me the feel of a nigga who would make a song called Black Spider-Man, like, I'm not going to talk to you about music like that."
I think Logic could work in like a different realm, man. I guess I've been watching too much comic book shit, like in the multiverse and shit. I feel like there's a Logic there that I would like. But it's just like, we don't have that one in our universe. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's definitely a Logic that I think exists.
I think Logic is the rap Petey Parker to a certain extent, which is why the Black Spider-Man shit works. But I wasn't the biggest Spider-Man fan.
I don't know if he's a rap Petey Parker, but go on. Tell me why.
I think because he takes the approach of like, "Yo, I'm just a nigga trying to be himself. And I've been burdened with the power of rap. the ability to come and spit these unbelievably fast paced, intricate verses.
Nonsensical.
That go together in the most obscure and abstract ways. And people like it. And I discovered that I could do it at a point in time when I was just kind of figuring myself out. So all the quirks and like little idiosyncrasies that make me awkward get spun into it. And I've just had to double down. And it was like, yo, with great power comes great responsibility. So I think he's been trying to champion that type of rap since he started, instead of like growing as an artist and becoming more detailed. But I also don't listen to Logic in the way that I feel like a fan would. So I may not hear the change or the adjustment in his style that all these other people may have. And that's what I thought about talking to this cat about music, because I could have went in it. I could have asked him why. Give me 5 Logic songs I should listen to. But I didn't, because I didn't want to hear any Logic songs, and I didn't necessarily want to hear his opinion anymore on music. But we did talk more, or at least about Logic. We did talk more about music, and I just realized I was old. There are certain artists that I don't have the desire to listen to and have no real issue about saying it. And it ain't even necessarily about new, younger artists. We had that same conversation about The Game last week, and I tried to listen to that album.
I just want to be clear. I did not recommend the album. Yeah. I just want to be clear for anybody listening.
No, you did. I blame you. I blame you for going back.
I ain't tell niggas listen to that shit, man. But
that's all I got for Wash Moments and my week. It's nothing.
Shout out Logic.
Nothing. Yeah, shout out Logic, man. I support anybody out here trying to make it on their own and creating a buzz based off of who they are and their particular talent and yada, yada, yada. I'm not hating. I just don't like your shit, bro. That's all it is.
Yeah. I mean, I think content is really important when it comes to me. And it's weird, man, with me, because I always say that content is important, but the more I think about it, it's like I listen to the most nonsensical shit, too.
Oh, yeah.
But it just has to be done in a way that I feel in line with. I don't even know how to put that into words. I could listen to a West Side Gun.
I think there's a relatability about certain artists that goes beyond just content. I can't necessarily relate to Young Thug lyrically, but yeah. Sonically, he reminds me of other artists that I grew up listening to and fuck with.
Yeah. And Travis Scott.
Exactly. The environment. Yeah. When I listen to certain rappers, like Atlanta rappers, talk about certain shit, it's like watching a Netflix movie or any movie for that matter, and I'm seeing Peachtree or Edgewood in the background. Like, oh shit, even if I don't fuck with the movie like that, I'm probably gonna watch for an extra 10, 15 more minutes just to see if they've got more scenes that are shot here. So there's certain things about music that have nothing to do with the actual quality of it that I pick up on, that I relate to. Like the fact that niggas like Mach Hami have ran stints here in Atlanta, and I can tell based on the artists he's collabed with, whether it be
I just saw an old Chico photo of Mach Hami before he went with the mask whole thing. Oh shit, damn nigga,
you look like you could have ran across this nigga on Martin.
Yeah, might have met the nigga already. I don't even know, but yeah. But yeah,
He got songs with niggas like Juju Gotti, who we performed with. Yeah. He's got songs with, I can't remember the name of that other nigga, man. He had a short little beef with West Side Gunn at one point. But he's also from Atlanta too.
You talking about the God Fahim? Maybe.
The God Fahim. Yep, that's him. Mm. I think that may be it as of right now that I can remember. But those are enough artists for me to be like, oh shit, nigga, he's actually got a niche market that caters to artists that I'm familiar with. So I'm more inclined to listen to his shit to see what else I can pick up on. But I don't know how to make certain artists like more appealing. I will say somebody I've doubled back on that I initially was kind of against just because of the stuff that he would talk about on Twitter or in his interviews, but Russ got some shit.
I like the Chomp series. The Chomp series is dope. I really enjoy that series when he gets into his hip hop bag. Like Chomp 1 and 2 were both pretty cool.
So I mean, it's not like I'm un Like, I'm undeterrable from my opinions. Like, I sometimes I can't be my worst own worst enemy when it comes to my ideals or, like...
For me, what I think it
my
is,
statues
too,
on rap music.
It's, like, I think it is, for me, like, I can sniff out a lot of the industry shit a lot easier right now. Like, I feel like I can sniff out when something is industry made versus, like, it just got that...
Organic.
Got the organic feel. Like, I don't... You know, my comedy just kind of happened. Like, you know what I mean? Everybody, we all just kind of listened to it at once. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it wasn't like a lot of big push from the labels and shit. Niggas like, we're kind of fucking Griselda at the time. It's like, oh shit, let me check this shit out. And everybody, you know, because it was good, it kind of like illuminated throughout circles. Like, you know, I ain't got to be in my necessarily primary circle to bring up my comedy. And niggas going to be like, oh yeah, I'm fucking with that shit. You know what I mean? When it was out. Or even now, like you said, he's collabing with niggas around Atlanta too. But, yeah, like, I remember artists back in the day, like, you could like, the Logics of our era, like, I remember this, I don't want to, I might as well.
Be here now.
Yeah. It was this cat named Q the Kid, So Death Sign, a long time ago. Shout out to him, but I remember him, like, them trying to push that, and he was supposed to be, like, a spitter, but it was, it never connected, because it just didn't have the streets with it, and,
yeah,
like... It's a million of those dudes, like, you know what I mean? Like, the industry really tried hard to push. I remember, like, even in the Wale, Big Sean era, it was a lot of those dudes that we just never heard from again, like.
Shout out Donis.
Yeah, or X to the V, X to the Z, what was his name? X to the V?
XV.
XV, or whatever his name was. Yeah, that guy.
For Sean.
Jibert Forte, what was that dude's name? Gilbert.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, like, Gilbert, I think he was on the freshman list.
Yeah, Gilberto Forte or something like that.
Yeah, but it was a lot of those. Anyway, yeah. That's a long tangent, but yeah, I just feel like sometimes I can sniff that out, and I think kids from this generation are eventually going to catch on to some of that, because I know Salt to Logic, but it always felt like industry fluff-a-rough. it just never felt real, like the anticipation behind his music. But I guess we can get into the topics.
Speaking on industry fluff-a-ruff, we've been talking about this the emergence of AI rappers. The Twitter has been abuzz with news about FN Mecca. FN Mecca is a AI generated rapper who recently was signed and as of now dropped from Capitol Music Group due to some of the content of his lyrics. And when I say content of his lyrics, means like him using the N-word. It's been a lot of discussion around the idea on whether or not rap has reached a point where it's commercial, so much so that it can just be generated by anyone or anything. And we've had this discussion in a variety of forms over the years, whether it be mumble rap, white rap, or just the overabundance of the emergence of like pop rappers in the game, and the way they produce music and how it's been marketed to a certain type of audience, a certain type of way, but never to the degree that I think people have been really kind of looking at this concept of having AI rappers and trying to figure out where the game goes from here. I've just been doing my research. Apparently FN Mecca is one of the rappers who was developed by Chris Lee, and Chris Lee is a designer who was based in
video games. Quite white.
And he wanted to develop a game that was similar to Def Jam Vendetta, so he started creating characters for a format he called Cloud Fighter, which was a world in which SoundCloud rappers would battle each other. And if you listen to FN Mecca, you can kind of tell that's the demographic they're going for. He sounds like an amalgamation of like Tekashi 6ix9ine and Lil Pump and Smoke Perp, all them rappers that were on No Jumper early in the days.
I have my theories about this whole thing. I think all they did was just lift the curtain up. Like this whole fucking algorithmic based artist or, you know, that shit has been happening. Like, that's how labels come up with singles. Like, this shit, all they did was lift up the curtain, and instead of putting, you know, Young Meg, the Lil Pump Stallion baby.
Yeah, you looked at all the, you know what I'm saying? Instead the nicknames of you getting, yeah. that you put on certain rappers. Everybody had to have three letters in front of their name in order to get a record deal. Like, there was a point in time where everybody was a Young or a Little.
And even just the way songs are formatted, like, you're never going to hear a third verse on a single. Like, rappers aren't allowed to do that. You know what I'm saying? There's just certain songs are formatted to this generation. There's always going to be, like, shout out to Cardi B, because I actually think this shit is dope. But they put certain shit even in the verses that's like, when she's like, I'm slide on a nigga, that's electric. Or, broke niggas don't deserve pussy. I know that's right. Like, all those type of shit is, like, algorithmic-based verses and shit. Oh, shit, they like when she does that shit. Let's put it in the next single. Like, you're rarely going to hear an artist repeat the same type of verse from two singles in our era. Mm. Like, whose singles were, like, similar back-to-back? Like, only person that ever did that shit was Nas. Like, the Hip Hop Is Dead shit, and he didn't rap the same, like... But they find what you know engages what people engage with, and then they just multiply that shit. So, yeah, I just think they lift the curtain up. I think whoever, you know, this album, this fucking computer rapper nigga, like, he's probably, who knows, that nigga didn't wrote a lot of nigga singles probably.
Well, it's apparently written by another rapper. I'm trying to scan through this interview so I can figure out his name. But he was employed by Factory New. That's what the FN stands for, apparently. Factory New Mecca. And it's just been a lot of controversy around the idea of a computer-generated rapper rapping lyrics that
because they have algorithms, describe they
have black experiences or like,
but they have shit to the same way they can run certain posts through fucking computers and tell if it's gonna like get more likes. They could do the same shit with music at this point. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So. I just think they lift the curtain up a little bit. I don't think this is a new thing. I think this type of shit's been around forever. But now they're actually putting a cartoon with it instead of like having the algorithm design so and so new single.
Yeah, the guy who's responsible for the agency that put him out is what's his name? Dudley Neville Spencer. Pardon me. I'm trying to find the name of the rapper who was responsible for putting all of his lyrics into a computer program and them generating like an idea of what a song would sound like from him. But yeah, it was very orchestrated and very put together. Almost very similar to the way you would describe a writing room for an industry plant or an artist that was signed based off a social media presence as opposed to having an actual like story as far as coming up in the ranks of trying to get his music out there or like mixtapes or SoundCloud or things of that nature.
I mean, I just think one is exactly like the other. I mean, it's the same shit. Like, I don't know where the fuck these rappers come from nowadays. Man, these motherfuckers don't build buzzes. Like, it's just somebody's cousin at the end of the day. I don't know where the fuck Lil Pump came from. Where'd he come from?
Have you seen all these pictures of like rappers from today? Like, it'd be pictures of them with like the current rapper who was big during their time. So it's like them as a little kid, like with Ludacris.
Oh,
them
as
a little kid, like certain rappers as a little kid. Like it's a picture of like Saucy Santana with Jay-Z or some shit.
That was the worst combination
throughout the. There's a picture of Saucy Santana with DMX. I think it's DMX and like Redman and Meth from like the Cash Money Rough Riders tour or some shit.
Shit.
It's a picture of, like, I know it's a picture of Lil Yachty and, like, Ludacris. But, yeah, like they were like, yo, somebody needs to talk about how many pictures there are of young stars who were taking pictures or hanging around rappers from back in the day. Like, all of this shit is pretty much who you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it should get way deeper than that. Like, but, you know. I'm not going to call anybody names out, but yeah, man, once you start doing your research, man, everybody just pretty much family. So a lot of
Crazy
nepotism.
Crazy Bone talked about this shit a while ago in a few interviews about how like there's a certain air in the music industry where they're trying to replace rappers. Like however they can get like people who look like us out of rap, like they're going to find a way. And I think that, like, one of the biggest things they were talking about was...
Never, ever have conspiracy theories and be called crazy bone.
Yeah, they're not going to listen to me.
But, yeah, I do agree.
I'm listening, though.
I agree. I'm not even saying he's wrong. Crazy. I'm just saying, like, yeah.
Crazy. Look at me, crazy. Crazy, look at me. I'm listening, bro.
Poor turn of events.
You just got to go by... wisdom bone, yeah. Or
knowledge bone, nigga.
Knowledge bone. Name of the pot.
Knowledge bone.
You gotta take the K out, bro. Just knowledge bone.
Yeah, you gotta grow up, dog. Yeah, it's time, man. I want to take you seriously, but you're not allowing me to, bro. With that name, dog.
Knowledge bone is so fucking funny, bro.
I'm listening to Knowledge Bone. That nigga got some shit to say.
Hell yeah, nigga.
Hold up, get quiet, bro. Knowledge Bone about to talk, bro.
That's the AI rapper we need. Get him a big ass seven sun and moon and star chain, bro.
Yeah, get one of them whole
the whole joint.
Hell yeah. It's just crazy. Yeah, yeah. But what's the next topic? Where we at? What else we got?
We talk about all these shootings in Atlanta. Nah, let's talk about Versus.
Let's say that for last.
All right, so Versus apparently is suing Triller for unpaid royalties for a number of events. I'm not exactly sure which ones, but you can only imagine they've been doing a spree of Versus since the beginning. Like when you go back to the Teddy Riley babyface or the what was it, New Edition versus some other old R&B niggas. Like they've been running a slew of verses lately, and I think a lot of them have been getting a lot more attention than the actual creators of verses. And I think that when anytime you attach yourself to a company, that's a risk you run, like, especially if you're not necessarily putting yourself at the forefront. Like they're not Russell Simmons Def Jam in this situation. They're really letting the artist kind of run the show, and then the organization itself promote it. And I think that Swiss Beats and Timbaland are kind of fed up.
Yeah. I'm going to say something. Versus dead, man. Versus is dead. Gotta let it go. I'm not mad at them trying to get as many bags as they can, but this shit is about to start turning more into like TV1 level shit. Like,
oh, yeah. They about to have Versus on BET soon.
Like, it's going to be Versus like Chingy and... nigga, whoever, nigga.
I mean, the last one I really want to see is the joint that we talked about.
Meek Mill Game.
Meek and Game.
I think that would be like top tier shit. Like, yeah. I think that would be a Versus I would watch, but I don't think either of them, like, that's tricky to be an artist in kind of this generation and do a Versus.
Versus is an old nigga's freshman.
Exactly. Cover. It kind of feels like you putting the nail in the coffin.
Yeah. Because you don't want to do a Versus and be
active.
Yeah, active. Like, why am I doing a Versus with a nigga?
You could be active and a veteran like the Lox, because like, they got so many years and ain't nobody going to, like, you know what I'm saying? They're cemented. Like, Dipset is cemented. They are legacy acts at this point. But if you're... I don't know if Meek Mill is a legacy act at this point or the Game. Like, I don't know if they reached that...
I mean, the Game is retired and come back, but I think he retired based off of having label issues and not necessarily wanting to stop rapping.
I just don't know if he's a legacy, though. Like, I mean, I guess he is. I mean, he's definitely had hit records and he's been around 10 years plus.
A very tenured story. Like,
for sure.
From the Aftermath, Dr. Dre Association.
I might have just been too old because, you know, I don't look at those artists as like as veterans necessarily. Like, I mean, Game is definitely a vet. I don't know. That's
I think
tricky.
Meek is kind
that's
of tricky. A vet too. Meek he been is. Around since Smack DVD. Like,
he is. He definitely is. You would consider Meek a vet?
I would. Just based off of I think me and Chop was having this conversation on Twitter, and I was like, bro, like Meek kinda got one of the best stories in hip hop when you think about all he had to go through in order to get signed by Rick Ross and then get locked up again and then get out of jail. Beef with one of the biggest rappers in the game, have this whole prison reform campaign sort of be championed based off of his situation with the law and his issues with the probation system or the parole system in itself, and then still have albums come out, even from the controversy from his album cover, like being on buses and people, like he's always kind of had something. Somebody say something about him in the news media, regardless of whether it be about his music or something about his personal effects or anything like that.
So here's my thing. When I think about like a tenured artist for me, or like a legacy act. A legacy act for me is like an act that, like, oh shit, I can buy my whole family tickets to a Beyonce show, or a Smokey Robinson show, or a Jay-Z show, or damn near a Nas show, or whoever. Like, those type of artists, you could buy a group of people those tickets and everybody's going to be excited, because it was just, they were so big when they were big. Like, it's like, oh yeah, I'm definitely going to go see that, like, regardless if I was the biggest fan or not. And I don't know if, maybe, I don't know if niggas in our era, like, if you just give them tickets to a Meek Mill show, or especially The Game, I don't know if niggas are just going, especially when you just, like, taking your opinion from last week. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm definitely not going to a game show. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
A game show. Doo-doom-doom. I'm not that going. Nigga in Jeopardy, man. Yeah. But, yeah.
Nobody yeah. wins when the Family Feud. I'm not taking the tickets.
No, but no, I just feel like our legacy act, maybe it's just because The Game has changed. Well, there you go again. Yeah.
It's because not scripted, baby.
Yeah, maybe because it's streaming now. Yeah. The top tier acts don't hold as much weight as they used to. Mm. That might have something to do with it. But yeah, I just...
Are you saying The Game's fucked up? Is that what you're saying?
Niggas Binks is banging. Niggas Hooks did it. Niggas Lyrics did it. Nigga.
You say my name on your song, I'm coming for 700%.
I would write it if y'all could get it. Being an intricate. Yeah, but
you saying you bang, I'm saying the same thing.
Yeah, but yeah, man. I don't know what the fuck we were talking about, but
yeah. Algorithm
rap, yeah. What else we got? I don't even know how to continue that conversation, but yeah. I hope someone enjoyed that.
We
never talk enough rap on this motherfucker anyway.
Yeah, we got scared. Remember how scared we used to be talking about rap? That shit is well and done now. niggas done burnt as many bridges as we possibly can.
Yeah, fuck that shit at this point.
Rick Ross is being sued for lack of paid wages in his Mississippi Wingstop locations. I don't know if this is something that extends beyond that. That was all they mentioned in the article I read. It doesn't surprise me, man. Anybody who knows about rappers and the food industry, bro, if you've ever been to Straits, if you've ever been to the So-So Def Cafe or anything like that, bro, like
Justin's.
Justin's.
I think Diddy might have got sued for the same shit, but
that shit happens.
From what I read, apparently it was like some of his family members, like, you know, he got the Wingstops and various family members' names all under the same umbrella, though. And it's one of, you know, some family in Mississippi. It's like his cousin or some shit. So, but he is the name, so they had to use his name in the headline. But yeah, like you said, man, shit happens, man. Shout out Rick Ross. I only put this shit on the subject on the list because it's there. But I just think it's, yeah, man. I think owning a restaurant, I ain't gonna say we all know, but if anyone knows, like, that is one of the most difficult industries you could ever get in.
The best way to do it is franchise it, and even then, like,
that's the safest way for sure.
When you get into it from that aspect, then you get more than one, and you're not necessarily actively in the store. Like, you own a Chick-fil-A, you're usually safe, but you're definitely running that shit personally, like, and you're in your stores, and when they do inspections, like, you get held accountable as an individual, as the owner.
Yeah, and depending on the brand, it's like, I think certain brands are liable to hold owners more accountable than others. So, like, Chick-fil-A probably has a pretty high standard.
High standard.
Anyone knows Chick-fil-A, you know, shout out to Atlanta. Yeah, you know how Chick-fil-A do, bro.
Yeah, I think McDonald's is one of those ones where, like,
you might come in that shit and might be the hood, nigga.
Yeah.
Depending on the wrong McDonald's, nigga.
And that's the thing, like, when McDonald's recently got sued, there was a guy in Cleveland that recently won a $90 million lawsuit because he owns multiple franchises, but the locations that they were giving him weren't considered prime locations. And because he had been doing so well despite, like, he was debating the fact that he should be given better locations because he sees a direct correlation between, like, him being a African-American owner of franchises and the difference between sitting down with other McDonald's owners who are franchise owners as well and the locations they're given. Like, they're starkly different. And nobody's been able to really make any headway. Like, there are plenty of people who buy McDonald's and go under based on the fact that that franchise was bought and they gave them an area. They don't choose the real estate in which they can post their McDonald's. Like, they're just given a McDonald's and told to run it. And I think that's the thing with franchises. Like, running them is a little bit safer, but the politics of actually running that business amongst other franchise owners makes it difficult. And yeah. I think Rick Ross having the ability to be such a name was a big draw for Wingstop. Like, it shouldn't have happened under his watch, but because he's got so many other things going, I know that's nothing that he could really keep under wraps or contain on his own.
But, like, with your point, like, we already know what locations he was probably given in.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? All the motherfuckers is in the Triz now. Just because that's his brand to a certain extent.
Yeah, I definitely know they're championing Rick Ross on the one on Memorial Drive and Belvedere, and you know.
Yeah, I know he got like a lot of them down here. I believe he got like 5 to 10 in Atlanta alone. So, but yeah, shout out Rick Ross, man. We always love to see rappers moving into the next stage of their life when it comes to the business aspect.
Yeah, and in no way, shape, or form do I think he's personally responsible for these people not getting paid. Like, I think Rick Ross just did a back to school drive where he was providing free haircuts, book bags, bikes for kids. So yeah. You know, he's definitely active in the community and supports, I think, people of.
He was fucking niggas' hairlines up for free, man.
For free, bro. Laughing. The nigga didn't take one look at this little boy.
Yeah, I was like, either this nigga is mad nice with these clippers.
He flipping the shits like Nick Cannon and Drumline.
Oh, he don't give a fuck.
He cut hair like this nigga Nick Cannon read music.
Don't know, don't show.
Don't care about kids in the hood going back to school. And if you ever been at a barbershop before it's time to go back to school, them haircuts come with the highest stakes, nigga. You gotta go back to school on the first day.
And it'd be tricky when you could get them.
Your barber trying to rack up, but, you know.
And then it's like, you know, I used to try to get mine like a little bit early because, you know, like, you know, real niggas know, like, you don't want to just have a fresh cut, bro. You want to let that shit grow.
You want to be settled.
Yeah,
you want to marinate. You want to be able to do-rag it, brush it.
There you go. Real niggas knew. So, like, I'm going to get that shit about a week before. You know what I'm saying? Let my shit
maybe come back
up
and get a lineup that day.
There you go. You get the lineup, bro. But, yeah, you need to cut. I need to be able to brush my shit, get my shit just right. But, shout out Ricky Rose, man. We stand with you, bro. Shout out to the people that ain't getting no money either.
Fuck them thighs, though, man.
You gotta quit it, boy.
Yeah. All right.
Price of chicken didn't drop too, boy.
Ooh, we didn't talk about this first.
Holiday. Ooh, I've been in the stores, man. Chicken is back to normal. So shout out to Biden, bro. I'm no longer gonna tweet out that Trump Batman symbol.
This is the America I've been waiting on, to be honest with you, man.
That's all we need.
Gas price is dropping. Yeah. Wings is dropped.
It's crazy. When just to bring it back to normal, it's a celebration. But what else we got? What are we about to get into?
In Atlanta news, man, the streets have been on fire lately. There's been a lot of shootings. I saw a shooting in Woodruff Park posted on Atlanta Uncensored on the way over here. And that's like the second shooting I've heard of in Woodruff Park recently. But one of the owners and rappers from Nappy Roots, one of the owners of Atlantucky Brewery, was robbed and held at gunpoint and kidnapped, apparently, leaving the establishment the other day. And people have been talking about safety in Atlanta, which is something that's been on everybody's mind as of late since the pandemic. There's also been a shooter in Midtown recently arrested and apprehended. Actually got apprehended on the way, well, at the Atlanta airport. I'm assuming on the way out of town, which is odd. Part of me thinks that she may have had some mental issues. Obviously, she just went on a shooting spree in Colony Square. But aside from that, simply because she still had the gun on her in the airport, like, you really trying to make a clean getaway, you get rid of that gun somewhere between Colony Square and Hartsfield. But
and that's why women can't be president. No, I'm joking, ladies.
Y'all missing out the major details, bro. Y'all gotta read The Art of War. I think that's y'all first mistake, man. Y'all not planning these tactics out properly. I
hadn't said anything sexist in a while. I just felt like it was time. But yeah, go on. I'm sorry.
But violence in Atlanta has been on the rise, quote unquote. But I always feel like when you're really from here, you see this type of shit a lot more often than it gets reported. Now, and I don't know if it's just because we're becoming a city that's more friendly to transplants, that the news media just tries to report these things in succession, like you, or it's because of social media's ability to popularize certain aspects of the city's culture that may not necessarily get highlighted, but because it gets clicks and likes, that's what they promote. Because I've seen, I felt like Atlanta Uncensored and all the, it's another site or another Instagram page that does pretty much the same thing. But I, since then, I've seen more sites or more pages like that pop up. Like, it's Philly Uncensored, it's Detroit Uncensored, it's Bronx and Brooklyn. Boroughs have their own demographic for the type of nonsense and violence and crime that goes on in the community. And I think Atlanta is just one of those cities where, like, we just have a lot of activity and we're just seeing it in more aspects than just the news now.
Yeah, I also think it's like has to do with us becoming Black Hollywood. I mean, if anybody knows what's going on in L.A. right now, nigga.
Same type of energy.
Yeah, same energy, man.
You're seeing niggas get walked up on at restaurants, but back when they were having outdoor seating only for
getting a lot of robbed, nigga, broad daylight, nigga, yeah, getting people shot.
People just walking up,
shooting niggas with their girl on dates and shit. Like, yeah. I remember hearing about that story in New York. So, like, I think all the entertainment cities, like, we always gonna be on fire, man. It just come with being like having that
a popular destination.
Yeah, having the microscope on the city, yeah, like that. Like, I think it just comes with that. So, unfortunate, man. That's why a lot of people don't love big cities, man. It just comes with, you know, it come with big crime.
Yeah, you just mentioned L.A. Quando Rondo just got one of his partners was shot and killed in West Hollywood, which is unfortunate. And I don't think there's gonna be any more deliberation about it, just because the streets would say, nigga, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot to go with that. I don't
slide for your people.
Yeah, I don't like to talk on street business because I ain't none of my business. But you know, anybody that, you know, you do it, the YouTube dive, and you can figure out why Quando Rondo seems to be a wanted man right now. So,
yeah, but man. Yeah, man.
I think the cities are just on fire. Like, overall, like, when it comes to the top cities in America. All top cities are like that. It always comes with a lot of crime. Like, I think that's why, like, kind of Dubai was a little special because the rules are so
strict.
Strict, yeah, that you can't have a lot of crime. But, you know, shit, London, it's a lot of crime in London. Like, a lot of crime in New York. A lot of crime in fucking Chicago. A lot of crime in Miami. You know, that shit come with that type of shit. It's the energy come with it, man. So anybody that comes to Atlanta, just know what comes with it.
Yeah, the Midtown shooter was a little bit different. I think she
had definitely a personal qualm with seems to be her
numerous property management. She talked about how she was trying to expose fraud, numerous lawsuits that she had made against the actual leasing company of that neighborhood, of that apartment complex. Part of me feels like, just move, bro. You live in a condo on Peachtree. Just move, man.
I was just going to say, man, it's tricky. When you hear stories like that, it's like, yeah, I mean, they might have had a point, but they also could have just been some crazy motherfucker.
Yeah, why are you trying to fight this, like, point? Like, I know you have a right to certain things.
And I say could have been really loosely because, I mean, obviously she had a few screws loose to take it that far, to take it to that extent, you know? Like, yep. I don't know, man. It's
a tricky situation. I'm sure as the story develops, we'll probably talk more about it.
And RIP to all the victims that I think it was only one victim so far.
Nah, it's two.
Two so far. One is still in the hospital right now.
Critically wounded.
Yeah.
Got to go through a certain amount of surgeries out here. So, yeah. God bless, man.
Everybody stay safe.
All those lost.
Everybody stay safe. Stay on
your toes, man. Atlanta's not one of those cities you want to get caught with your head down.
Just stay out of shit, man. Keep your head down. Actually, keep your head motherfucking down. Stay out of people's shit. If you're
gonna be
out,
well, I don't know. In this situation, you at work, bro. Like, you get an active shooter coming through Colony Square. Like, that's not one of those places where you expect there to be any sort of action.
Yeah, but I think she hit the people she wanted to hit, it seems.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, you
I
know,
will say that. She definitely went straight to the leasing office.
One thing you can say about Black people, man. We're thoughtful people, man. We care about the community and shit. Like, we just not just shooting at random niggas like that.
I don't know. Okay.
For the most part.
All right.
God damn it.
You gotta relax.
For the most part. Like, nigga, we're not really... We might do it on accident. Yeah, come we on, definitely man. Have a lot of drive-bys where accidental people get shot. But the intention is pure.
I was about to say, no. Because, nigga... It was just a little girl shot on Edgewood behind some like street beef, and why she was on Edgewood at 11:30 at night is debatable.
But it was behind some street beef. You just said it. There you go.
Yeah, but that's still ridiculous.
It was
ridiculous.
Behind some street
that's
beef.
That's fucking ridiculous, though.
What was the fucking?
That's fucking. They didn't get who they were shooting at. They hit a little girl in a crossfire.
No, I'm not saying
shooting
none of that.
At random people in a crowd.
I'm not saying the exact none of that is okay. But what I'm saying is, at least it stems from a situation. When you compare it to a lot of these active shooters that happen to be white, sorry white people, y'all gotta take this one on the chin. Mm. Y'all niggas just be doing.
Yeah, I understand.
The fuck.
It's not a Buffalo grocery store shooting. It's not that.
We're not targeting just race. We're not just like, oh yeah, we're mad at white people. Like if we were gonna do that, bro, it'd be shootings every 3 seconds, dog. Like nah, we're thoughtful, bro. Shout out to us. Shout out to all my black people. So y'all say I never take outside. This.
So what you're saying is they're emotional killings. Yeah.
The crimes of passion.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that.
Yeah. Shout out to all my niggas and neglets. I'm sure y'all won't like that one.
That being said, man, what you been watching and listening to, man?
I've been watching a lot, actually. And listening to a lot. It's been a kind of busy week, I guess, because I left my goddamn job, so I just been cooling. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get all my entertainment in before I ain't got no time. But as far as podcasts is concerned, The Dial-Up, of course. I finally went through the Benedict Arnold series. Really enjoyed that. I didn't really realize like how much of a piece of shit Benedict Arnold actually was. Like
he was
like way
6ix9ine of the revolution.
Yeah, it's like way deeper than that
nigga
seemed.
That nigga was cold switching and flipping like
he was garbage, bro. Everybody
like,
knew he was
Dominique
garbage.
Dolls. They like, were like, bro, come on, I don't trust this nigga, man. Get him the fuck out of here. He kept switching sides. He ain't had nowhere to go.
And that's why his name still rings though. Like he was such a piece of shit. Like in his time, like people, like everyone knew. Like both sides knew. It was like the British and Americans didn't fuck with him. So shout out him. R.I.P. It was another joint I listened to that was really dope. Captain Thunderbolt with Will Anderson. That's episode 536 of The Dial-Up. Really enjoyed that one too. It's funny because like his name has nothing to do with who he was. Like his name is Captain Thunderbolt, but that has nothing to do with anything. it's just a random ass name to attach to him. So thought that was hilarious. Crime and Sports. What did I listen to?
Last Crime and Sports was fucking crazy.
I haven't listened to that one yet. It was a joint I did listen to recently. Damn it, can't find it. Sorry guys. I'll let y'all know next week. I gotta find it. I listen to that shit too much. I think that's it on the podcast front. As always, Joe Button, Drink Champs. It was somebody cool on Drink Champs this week, I thought. No, it wasn't. Oh yeah. I was gonna say, yo, if a waste of time was a person, it'd be DJ Khaled. But I'm not gonna say that.
Yeah, we're not gonna say that. Yeah. I'm not gonna agree with you.
But yeah, shout out,
I agree with you.
Shout out to DJ Khaled, Drink Champs. As far as what I've been watching. Oh, I watched a whole bunch. They just dropped the new Lakers episode. That was cool. They still haven't really unveiled anything that was like necessarily interesting. But I'm basketball fans. Oh, so I enjoyed it. But yeah, this one. Did I talk about this last week? But if I did, I'm going to reiterate. Children of the Underground. This documentary was fucking crazy, man. It was about this lady who would save kids from sexually abused households, but then she kind of took it too far. It's a really crazy story, man. Really great documentary, though. 5 episodes, so anybody that has time, check that out. I think that's... As always, Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn actually, like, took a turn up. I enjoyed it. They did a little play on Family Matters that was hilarious. Like, yeah, that was just pretty funny. I started She-Hulk.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad though. It really wasn't. I'm sticking with it for now. All right, She-Hulk. Don't run me off. Also, my brother put me onto this. I watched this last night. Mortal Kombat. Let me figure out the name. I watched a Mortal Kombat animated movie. That shit was kind of dope. I really enjoyed it. It was really graphic, but it was really good. Or Mortal Kombat Legends: Battle of the Realms. You know, it has everything you need in it. All the bicycle kicks and the get over heres and all that shit. You know,
all the bicycle kicks and get over
heres. Yeah, you know, of course Jax is in there. You know, I'm a Johnny Cage man myself. So shout out to all my Mortal Kombat fans. I think that's about it as far as what I've been watching, listening to. Jesus Price Superstar. Shout out to Sean Price. Ooh. Yeah, I've been on that a lot recently. Hip Hop 50 is cool. It was something else I really wanted to mention, but I don't remember it. Oh, Return of the Mac. I've been back on that. Prodigy, shout out to that. Monkey Bars. Sean Price again. Lupe Fiasco, Food and Liquor. Still listening to Almost Dry, Pusha T. Oh, Wave Pack, Max B. Victory Lap, Nipsey Hussle, Crit was here, shout out Big Crit, Legends of the Fall, of course, Civil Rights, CeeLo Green is Thomas Calloway, shout out to CeeLo, and I think I'm gonna end it right there, that's all I want. Oh yeah, shout out to Dennis Edwards too, man, don't look any further, if you know, you know. I think we gonna put that joint on the end of the pod, so yeah, listen to Civil Rights too. Just dropped a new joint, SoundCloud/Civil Rights.
It would be Bad Boys.
Yeah. We'll be at the end of the pod, so check it out.
All right, I'll start with what I've been listening to. Kendrick Lamar, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, Worldwide Steppers, Die Hard, Father Time, Rich in Spirit, which is the inverse of something I've been telling you niggas a long time, man. Y'all niggas broke in spirit. I swear to God, like, when certain moments happen like that in hip hop, where it's like, man, I'm really supposed to be in this shit, man.
I told you, niggas.
The thought process is there, bro. It's a cloud, nigga, and I'm in that bitch, nigga, breathing the same air.
My files go up there too, nigga.
Yeah, come on, dog. Fuck with me. Kenny Mason, shout out to Atlanta. A lot of Bodie James, a lot of Alchemist, Super Tech Mobo, Hot Water Tank. Hot Water Tank was one of them joints that slipped by me. Isaiah Rashad, House is Burning, Dark Seed, R.I.P. Young, Lay With Ya, Headshots, Son's Tirade as well, also Isaiah Rashad, Free Lunch for the Squad, What's Wrong.
Oh,
that's it. Yeah, I had a brain fart. I was trying to think if there was anything else on there I was listening to. Vince Staples, of course, you know, still bumping. Ramona Park broke my heart. Went back through all of Vince Staples album. Vince Staples actually has a show on August the 23rd. It's only on Amazon. I'm interested in watching that. It's actually,
I just saw that this morning, actually. Yeah.
It's actually going to be one of the highlights of my day. I'm going to enjoy it after this pod. But yeah, Taking Trips, man. The Shining, Sundown Town. Can't really fade that. FM as well, man. If you go back to FM, My Joints Are Fun. Outside. New Earl Sweatshirt interlude. Speaking of Earl Sweatshirt, I will say some random rap songs. One of his classics. I still go back and listen to that quite often. Hazard Duty Pay, JPEG Mafia. JPEG Mafia reminds me a lot of Danny Brown, like, except he does a lot of the producing. Danny Brown has a very, very intricate niche in my musical background, like as far as the shit I was listening to. I was listening to Danny Brown around the same time I was bumping Cool Kids. Yeah. And
I never really put
early Kendrick Lamar, like the black hippie like era, like that
dirty drum sound though that Danny Brown tended to rap on, like when you talk about him and the cool kids, it's funny that they're all like Midwestern.
Speaking of Danny Brown, I've been listening to his podcast, which is hilarious. If you haven't started listening to the Danny Brown Show, please listen to the Danny Brown Show. It's a part of Your Mom's House podcast group, which includes Your Mom's House, Mom Jeans, which is Christina P, her podcast, and Tom Segura's podcast network. Flagrant 2, Andrew Schultz and Akash Singh, they've been doing a bunch of shit in London. I just like their podcast. There's nothing for me to really report. What is this? Crime and Sports. Bloodied Bodies and Bad Excuses. Joaquin Fire, I can't remember his last name, but some nigga from California who was an MMA fighter who had a terrible career and then just crashed out and killed two of his homies for doing some gay shit.
All right.
The Dollop, of course. That's the best way I can describe it. It's a good podcast, though. Definitely interesting if you like crime and sports.
Speaking of crime and sports, I just want to throw this out there. I listened to Flexing His Crime Muscles, episode 112, The Exhaustiveness of Jose Canseco.
That's a hilarious title. They get flawless with these titles. Yeah, bro, hilarious, bro. The Dollop, the Greek Town Riot with Sam Morril. Sam Morril had a crazy take where he was talking about being in Pittsburgh. It was just a tweet where he was like, yeah, I'm gonna be in Pittsburgh this weekend. This is what happened the last time. And you know how comics got to do morning radio or morning television?
Yeah.
It's a crazy clip of him being on this morning television program where they're like, yo, like, are you one of those comedians who like always grew up knowing you were funny? Or like, did you just kind of fall into comedy? Like, how did you get into comedy? And his response was like, well, I didn't always know I was funny. When I was young, I was molested by my uncle and he was hilarious. So the way it kind of works is like, yo, he's the head vampire, and eventually I became funny too. The female anchor was so thrown, she was like, yeah, I don't actually know how to respond to that. So, yeah, catch Sam Morril at yada, yada, yada. I laughed so hard because he kept such a straight face. He was smiling,
yeah,
but
great.
You could tell it wasn't a joke.
I've heard so many comedians talk about how much they hate doing that shit. Like, but that's funny. Like,
they just ruin it for the sake of ruining it.
Yeah, they just doing it because it's funny to them. They know it's not.
It's not funny at all, but it's just like, yo, fuck it. We'll just be here and we'll have to sit in this awkward moment and you're going to have to keep a straight face because I'm here to tell jokes.
Give a VA and I don't give a fuck about none of this shit. Like, because they really don't care. But yeah.
What else have I been listening to as far as podcasts? I've been back in my Joe Rogan bag a little bit. Nothing really specific to report because I know niggas don't really give a fuck about Joe Rogan.
I ain't touched this shit in a minute, no more.
I know, man. Whitney Cummings had a few episodes both on Flagrant 2 and Joe Rogan's podcast. Andrew Schultz had an episode that I listened to. Not Whitney Cummings. Who was the other one? Sam Tripoli. Sam Tripoli's Joe Rogan episode was good. I like the ones where he does with comedians. If you haven't gone, if you're looking for a Joe Rogan podcast to go back and listen to Save Our Parks, bro. Go back and check the Save Our Parks episodes with Shane Gillis, Ari Shaffir, and Mark Norman.
I definitely will check those out because I'm a big Mark Norman fan. So.
Yeah, man.
Shout out Mark Norman. Hilarious. I got to catch him when he comes to Atlanta. I'm saying it on the pod, so it reminds me.
Yeah, we gotta go. I'm back in a position where I can fuck with it now, so.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It'll happen. Yeah. As far as what I've been watching.
Might have to double date them, well.
Yep.
I take this out. It's fine.
Yeah, Dark Side of Comedy, Chris Farley.
Was it good?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
It's good. I mean, it's everything that you needed to know about Chris Farley. He has a very Belushi-esque story.
Because it was like the side you don't know about Chris Farley.
Right. It was like, nah, nigga, this side was there. we saw every bit of this side, bro. Like, they did the same thing with Belushi. We got to talk about Saturday Night Live and the amount of enabling they did during that time period. Because they did the same shit with Belushi.
But it was like, the 80s. I mean,
you kind of got to give it a pass. Yeah, fuck it, nigga.
Yeah. Everybody was there.
Don't let them off the hook. Lorne Michaels got enough bread. Let them just pay this shit off.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, they seemed very apologetic about it. They were just kind of like, yo, it was just so sad to see it happen. Like, and the group of people that he was around during that time period, like the Chris Rocks and the David Spades, like there were a lot of people who had serious Hollywood careers after that. Even what's her name? What's my nigga name? Tracy Morgan. Tracy Morgan was on Saturday Night Live around that time. Like, it was just so many times where people was like, yo, he really fucked up. There's nothing we can do about it either. We just gonna have to hope that he performs. And he would, but at what cost? So it was an interesting watch. We need to talk about Bill Cosby with Kamau Bell. It was... I texted Draft that I was watching it, and I was like, yeah, this Bill Cosby documentary is good, in quotes. Because it really was eye-opening as far as how much of a predator he was. Very methodical in his approach to everything, even to molesting and abusing, taking advantage and raping women. It was something that a lot of people saw early on and I think didn't say anything, which is all information that we know now, but it's amazing at how many people were really in this timeline, like, and how affected I feel like the adults who were even in those situations seem. Like, there's a very innocent, and I don't know if this is just a part of the documentary filmmaking, but there was a certain level of innocence with all of these people who came into his life at a certain time when they needed sort of a big break or were looking for a change of scenery as far as their career was concerned. Like, a lot of the women that he made victims were models who were leaving the modeling industry in order to enterprise into acting, or who had moved to a certain part of the country in order to start over and start fresh or break into a new market. Like he spent a lot of time in Reno in Las Vegas. And if you know anything about Reno and Las Vegas, like it's very transient. Like, people come there from everywhere else in order to get their big break, quote unquote. And they usually end up somewhere amongst like the bottom tier of the tourist or entertainment industry. And he was racking up. So when they talk about his numbers, they make sense when they break it down in his documentary, because he was really trying to offer these people the world and then just kind of ripping the rug out from under him, based on his behavior and the type of like fucking monster he was. But yeah, that being said, I like the documentary as a documentary, like not the content, so to speak, but it was definitely like easy to watch. Kamau Bell is a great narrator. He made it very interesting and got a lot of great interviews from comedians who were able to give their side of the story without making it like super, like they weren't trying to slay him. Like, one of the things I like about comedians is they're able to give all the fucked up parts about their lives or somebody else's life and make it palatable. Like, Godfrey did a good take on it. Like even Dave Chappelle, like I thought about it from the standpoint of him talking about...
He rapes, but he saves.
Exactly. And yeah. the whole first episode was him talking about how much he did for a lot of black actors. Not even main actors, but just the stuntmen. Like, he's the reason that they had black stuntmen. Like, he said in Hollywood for one of the movies he was on, like...
They used to paint niggas.
They used to paint niggas. Like, yeah. Like, they literally, he was like, yo, people. They asked him, he was like, yo, so it was a guy that actually, like, did the, like, they, he did makeup? He was like, no. They just painted a white man black.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just painted a white man black, and he did all the stunts. And if you ever saw that movie,
And that's why that Dave Chappelle shit, it really is, like you said. Like,
he rapes what he saves.
Yeah, because it's kind of in a nutshell, but man, he did so much for the black community.
They talked about all the colleges he donated to and like how that was part house, of Howard and how that was part of him covering up. Like,
I mean, even when you think about like, it's a different world.
Yeah.
Just instilling like college atmosphere amongst black people, like, it was a big thing to go to a HBCU in the late 90s to early 2000s. Like, it got trendy because of shit like that.
Of a different world, yeah.
Those kids grew up, and now it's like, oh shit, I want to go to a historically black college. Yeah.
Yeah, Lisa Bonet, I'm sure, declined to be in the interviews.
But she stayed the fuck away from all of that shit.
I felt like she would have had something scathing, boy. I told you, niggas.
I want to say, yeah, she was one of the early people.
Because she dropped out because he was, she dropped out of the Cosby Show for a while just because she wanted to do movies that...
Yeah, that he didn't approve of.
He didn't approve of.
Yeah, I do remember hearing that.
Motherfucker, fuck you. Like, you're not my real dad.
Because I think it might have had, like, nudity in it or something. Or her cursing.
Yeah, she had a sex scene with Mickey Rourke.
Yeah.
Some movie. I can't remember the name of it. But anyway... I watched that. What else did I watch? Untold, The Rise and Fall of And-One. If you've listened to this pod, we've talked about... like
fell asleep on that right before the pod, but...
Yeah. We talked about Untold. Untold is a pretty good series. Shout out Netflix. This Speaking is one of our better documentary series.
Really waiting on it. I gotta... I don't want to talk about my shit, but... As soon as that Manti Te'o,
it's not out. That's what. That's how I ended up watching this one because it didn't come out.
It didn't come out.
I don't think it came out.
Yeah,
yet.
I don't think it came out. Okay, nah, I've heard people talking about it.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Ain't leaked yet. I don't think it hit the leaks yet. Somebody put me on. But go on. The And-One joint.
But I started looking for the Manti Te'o joint and ended up finding the And-One documentary, and it was a good watch. It really reminded me kind of like of my early experience with And-One. Like, the idea of mixtapes being free was a big part of our youth culture. Like, yo, like, mixtapes weren't sold. Like, you definitely came up on a good mixtape and ended up finding a whole world of music. And the idea, shout out Set Free. And they talked about how Set Free was one of the main reasons that it was marketed the way it would.
Yeah.
And how he was like, yo, we gotta make it free. We got to make sure it's got a bunch of unreleased music, and we got to make sure that it goes into all the barbershops, sneaker stores, you know, like gas stations, bodegas, wherever black people are. And it turned their marketing idea into a multi-million dollar company. And like any company, I feel like they always fall out based on how they treat the actual talent. Like, I think that that's something that just comes with the territory. But I did see... I saw a lot of record label energy in that environment, which is it's something to be said about like black people and their involvement in major corporations. Like, if it's not ran by us, like one of the things I will say about FUBU is I think it fell off and fizzled out eventually, but I don't see employees ever coming back and be like, no, nigga, they was never giving their money. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. No terrible stories about their CEOs or...
I couldn't tell you how disappointed I was to see that And-One was ran by three white guys.
And that was part of it. Like, I was like, oh, this shit makes sense. Like, it makes sense.
I was
now.
Even more pissed when I found out, like, the actual basketball player was a white guy, too. It's just like, whoa, come on, man. This is us,
the ambiguous guy? Like, I was like, yeah, I think that's why he was gray and had no face.
It's like, yeah, he's inspired by this dude, and it's like this. I mean, like, not to say that white people can't hoop. Shout out to all my white hoopers, because y'all definitely can hoop. But the way
And-One
they
is such a black brand.
And-One was such a It was like, come on, man. It was just It felt like what's the word that I'm looking for with white
disingenuous?
People? When white people wear braids.
Oh, minstrel showish.
Yeah, but what's the word for it? Appropriation. Yeah. Felt definitely like appropriation.
I was gonna go through all my. Yeah.
I was like one of those culture. Yeah, I was like one of those culture words. One of those.
My culture controversial vocabulary.
Yeah,
my
appropriation.
Index.
It definitely felt like appropriation.
My racism thesaurus.
But
I think that might have been it. That
I'm gonna rewatch it. I'm glad you brought it up. So I'm definitely gonna try to get the rest of it. I got the first half of it. I passed out. But
all
right.
That might have been all I watched this week. I ain't really going to a whole lot. I did watch. I didn't watch the newest episode of Legacy, but I did finish the first two that came out.
I think I'm gonna watch Prey. So.
Prey's good, bro.
Oh yeah, I think. Okay, I was like, man, someone told me Prey was dope.
Prey's good. I'm going to rewatch Nope. I got into an argument. Oh, shit. So, you remember when we had the conversation about Dope And I told you, I was like, yeah, this movie wasn't good, bro. When I told you when it came out,
yeah, and like, I argued, and I was the only nigga like, yeah, I thought it was fine, bro.
Did you say that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I recant. Right.
Yeah, we talked about it on the pod, and you like killed me on the pod.
Fuck you, nigga. I never said that shit.
I remember what's crazy is I remember everybody seeing it kind of at the same time. It might have been
me. You, I remember bringing
you,
it.
Vince.
I watched it in Maya.
Maya, and I watched it in theaters.
And
I was the only nigga, and all of y'all shitted on me.
I watched it in theaters.
And I was like, bro, this movie was fine, bro.
I watched it in theaters and was like, I don't like it, bro. And then I brought it home and I got it. I watched it again. And I'm watching it and like everybody walked in the room and it was like, yo, what the fuck is this corny shit you watching? And I was like, yo, it's dope. But I can't figure out if it's dope or not. And it was like, bro, cut this shit the fuck off, bro. I remember not finishing it. Like, I think I got it from Videodrome at the time.
That movie was fine, dog.
Yeah, the movie was great. Going back and watching it, I walked into work and it was watching it in the break room. I'm like, yo, in retrospect, this movie is really good, bro.
I was like, this movie is okay. I was like,
so that being said,
I was like, I get it because it's a little corny on the like hipster side if you're into like sneakers and blah blah blah. But it's like, yo, that's the best they could do given the circumstance. Like, you're never gonna get anything that close.
A lot of good actors that are still relevant in this current time.
ASAP showed up, bro.
Vince Staples
showed up for sure. Vince Staples had a dope role in that movie.
It was a cameo, but yeah.
But it was a dope
the
cameo.
White boy from Workaholics had one of those
Nori cameos.
The same dude, I can't remember his name.
White dude from Workaholics. Yeah,
the same dude who went on to play Raekwon in the Wu-Tang documentary series and the nigga from The Get Down.
And speaking of whatchamacallit, her daughter, right? Speaking of
Zoe Kravitz, Lisa Bonet.
Yeah, speaking of
Lisa Zoe Kravitz.
Yep.
Yeah, man. A lot of good actors who went on to have really, really good roles in other movies. And just a good movie in general, man.
Shout out Stacy, bro. Shout out Pharrell. Shout out I Am Other.
I Am Other was the production company. Yeah. Shout out, I think his name was Roberto Fumier, the same guy who did The Wood, the same guy who directed The Wood.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That was the reoccurrence of the security guard. The security guard was named Stacy. He was the nigga from The Wood who beat the shit out of Big Mike.
And back like, in the day. You got beat up by a nigga named Stacy?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, gotcha.
Don't say my name, nigga. But that's really it, man. I guess we are washed, never washed up.
Yeah. This was episode 98. We'll see y'all in a few days.
Yeah, like, subscribe, share, stay black, man.
Yeah. Yep.